your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Kyle Shanahan says he has not considered putting Christian McCaffrey on the injured reserve list. Should he? We'll discuss that and more next on 49ers After Dark. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That's Jesse Naylor. I'm Grant Cohn. Welcome to 49ers After Dark, presented by the Sleeper app. Christian McCaffrey was limited today yet again. Saw him jogging around, stretching, looking like he was in pretty good shape. Talked at his locker today, you know, said that he's always got this mentality that he's going to play. So when he says that he's going to play, it's not that he's lying. It's just his mentality. It's how he plays. But it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play. In fact, it's been reported that he most likely will not play this weekend. That's 2 weeks that you can put a guy on IR for 4 weeks, bring him back. You could do this 8 times, and then you could put someone else on the active roster. Should the Niners do that? Should they put Christian McCaffrey on IR with the designation to return?
Yeah, I think it's a tough thing to call because, you know, maybe he's back in week three, and really your chance was probably to do it before week one because it was interesting. You were at the game, but the telecast said, hey, Christian McCaffrey's not going to play today, a long shot to play next week. Like, immediately it was, he's not going to play basically the first 2 weeks. So if that was the case, I think that would have been the time to do it. But even then, after watching Mason, just to know for sure, I feel like you should still do it. Because here's the way that I see it. You have the Vikings, very winnable game. You have the Rams. Ooh, that's a tough divisional game, and you're in LA, but also the Rams are the most injured team in the league. They're beaten up very badly right now. So that's a very winnable game. You play the Patriots at home. That's a winnable game. And then you play the Cardinals at home. All four of those, really, you're going to be the favorite in and should win all those games with or without CMC. CMC, I know we've had like the debate the last couple of weeks, like CMC or Kittle, who's more important. Bottom line is all of these guys are very, very too important.
Sorry.
In that voice. Yeah. Exactly.
Who's more important?
Who's CMC better? You know. I think it was CMC.
That was me. That was my voice.
That's how I sound all the time.
But all of these guys are important. And having them at full go going into the playoffs is the most important thing. The only thing I do worry about, and it was 1 week. I'm not going to sit here and be like, Kyle, you should have ran him less. But if CMC doesn't play, is he just going to run Mason into the ground? Because 28 carries is a lot, man, a lot.
on the road on a short week, like, please don't do that again. I understand you did it. You had to do it in this last week, but this would be a great week to, like, use Isaac Guerrero or Patrick Taylor Jr. or put CMC on IR and get another running back like Matt Breida, who's available, I believe. And I think would do really well with the 49ers. Has before, looked fast in the preseason. I don't know. I don't want to go super Captain Hindsight on this, but we've been talking about Jordan Mason for years, so I feel like we can do that. Like, now that we see that Jordan Mason is legit, although we knew it, like, those weren't his first carries in the NFL, but now it's legit. He can start, take a full load, and win a game. Take a full load, pause. But, man, 417 touches last year for Christian McCaffrey, including the playoffs. 417. And now you're like, oh, man, he's got Achilles tendonitis. Like, I wonder why. It's too bad that Kyle Shanahan wouldn't have just... Now, I get he didn't know his blocking assignment. Whatever, man. Teach him the blocking assignments. Have a tutor. Remember that scene in Happy Gilmore? No, it's Billy Madison where he's trying to learn and like pass the test, and he has Chris Farley taking his shirt off if he gets the questions right. That's the kind of motivation that Jordan Mason could have used to learn his blocking assignments. It could have worked. Anyway, they could have prevented this. It's too bad. 417 for last year for Christian isn't great.
You are correct, sir. Yeah, he's got his shirt off. That's so good. Yeah, so it's not hindsight, because not only were people pounding the table for Mason to play because they thought he was really good, and turns out, guess what? He's pretty damn good. But also, hey, if you overrun CMC, he's going to be 28 years old next year. You might want to chill out. The last time this happened, he got injured, and here we are. So, yeah, it is unfortunate, but I do like that the 49ers are being cautious. I don't want to just like throw everything against them and be like, oh, they're just, everything's wrong here. It's too late. You can't go back and fix it. What you can do is be cautious with him. We know that CMC is always going to push to play. That's the way that he's always been. However, be cautious. That's what they're doing. I'm not mad at them for that. I just think you should be overly cautious and maybe put him on IR and go get somebody else. And that way you don't have to deal with it week in and that week out where he's like, come on, coach, I'm ready. It's, no, you're not ready. Well, I am ready. You don't have to do the back and forth. It's just you're not playing for 4 weeks. Chill.
Yeah, I think they should have put him on IR before the season started, because I don't expect him to play until week four. It doesn't make sense to have him start his season on artificial turf. So that, to me, rules out this week and next week. Week four against New England at home. So, okay. You missed the first 3 weeks and you don't put him on IR because you want him back for week four. You don't need him to beat New England. Just put him on. You don't need him to beat Arizona the next week. You could have been way more cautious with Christian McCaffrey, put him on IR, but they didn't. And to me, it's because they gave him that extension or whatever you want to call it, the renegotiated deal. It's just a bad look to give a guy all this new money, signing bonus, guaranteed money, and then turn around to the fans and the owners and be like, oh, by the way, he's not playing for a while, but don't worry, it's cool.
Yeah, and he's got this injury that could really end up being pretty serious. Do you think if Elijah Mitchell had not gotten hurt that they would have put him on IR? Like, having Mitchell and Mason, they would have felt good about, but Guerrero and Mason, maybe not as much. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, since, like, it depends on what Christian wants, right? If Christian says, don't put me on IR, they wouldn't put him on IR. Just like if Christian says, don't take me off the field, they have to
acquiesce to that.
Acquiesce was the word. I like that word.
Such a good word. Okay, last question on CMC. Because I've had a lot of people bring this up to me, I want to get your thoughts. Do you think he negotiated in bad faith knowing he was injured?
You want to get my credential taken away right now?
No. Okay, I'll answer.
Go ahead.
Let me answer.
What am I supposed to say to that? I don't know. I hope not.
I actually don't think that he did.
Okay.
Because he practiced after that. What he did do, though, is set himself up for scenarios just like this. Christian's smart. One, he knows that, first of all, I always play. But the moment I don't play, I got this young lion behind me that is ready to take my job. He's a very, very good player. He knew how good Mason was. He talked about it all offseason. And he's a good teammate. He's very happy for him, all those things. But he knows, hey, if I get injured, I don't have any guaranteed money. I can be a cap casualty. And they'll just go to this young guy right here. Now he doesn't have to worry about that so much. And even if he does get cut next year, he's getting paid. So I don't think he operated in bad faith like he was already hurt. I think what he did was protect himself for situations just like this, and it happened to be very, very early on, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how these things go. It just seems like it's funny how in the NFL, when a player is in a contract year or has no guaranteed money left on their deal, and there's a stigma that they're injury prone, like, man, that person is a monster, especially if they're good. Then all of a sudden they get the contract or they get the guaranteed money, and it's like, whoa, I got to protect my investment. And I'm not saying that's what he's doing. It just feels like that's an overarching pattern in the NFL. I can't blame him. I understand all of a sudden you got a lot at stake. It's too bad, though. It's too bad they did that when they didn't necessarily have to in retrospect.
You know what I do find interesting, though, is Ayuk holds out all offseason and doesn't play well, obviously. Trent held out all offseason, played
two
pretty well.
For 28 yards and two drops isn't good.
Not good.
That's not what you want for $30 million a year. Wow.
Trent Williams held out, didn't look like himself, but played well, right? Overall, in the scheme of things, played pretty well. But CMC asked for his money as well. It was a much shorter thing because the 49ers just, okay, here you go, here's your money. But he's not playing and nobody's saying anything. Fans are okay with that, but they're not okay with Ayuk, who is playing, just not playing up to snuff. Why do you think that?
For the record, the people in the chat are super not okay with it. They're livid.
Are they not? Oh, okay. Okay.
Particularly Greek boy Mano. Just want to shout out to him. He's been really upset.
That's not the vibe that I have been getting the last 48 hours from my chat or on Twitter or anything like that. So maybe I'm not as close to the pulse as I thought I was on this.
Vibe check. Hey, remember when Javon Kinlaw said he checked my temperature?
Yeah, you're checking vibes.
That was a classic. Was that the best line of that whole thing?
It was pretty good. Yeah,
good. Check my temperature. Whew. Okay.
That'll send chills up your spine.
So the Niners made that game look a lot easier than I thought. I thought it was going to be close scoring. I thought it would be low scoring. The Niners were like, nope, Jets suck. Or at least where they play the Niners. What's different about this team than last year's team?
I think there's a few things. It's very, very early. This is a very early return. Who knows what it's going to look like? Let's go back and forth. I have multiple things. You may only have one, whatever. Anyways, the biggest thing I notice is that the others are contributing right away. We just talked about it. CMC didn't play. Ayuk didn't play well. Trent, that wasn't the best version of Trent Williams that we're going to see. Debo was meh. Kittle wasn't targeted per usual for the most part. I mean, outside of a couple good catches, they needed other people to step up. You know, you've already got Greenlaw injured. You've got Huff out. So you have guys like Mason stepping up big time when he's given a moment. You have Floyd opposite of Bosa. A lot of people complained about how Bosa didn't play well, didn't take over a game the way that TJ Watt would or has, but Floyd played really well. Mm-hmm. Saubert, very, very good blocker. Man, there was multiple highlight runs where he was the catalyst to breaking things open. Very, very good job there. And then Jennings doing Jennings things, man. He's the fifth target, but he's so damn reliable. He's the Draymond Green of this offense. The Draymond Green of this offense to me. He's just so vital, so important. A box score may not tell you what he does throughout the game that helps you win, but ultimately he does help them win in a big way. So I think the other players contributing early, giving them a big reason to win, I think that's super important to see this early on.
Yeah, man, for sure. Going from Arik Armstead and Javon Kinlaw, who were in and out, working through stuff, not fully healthy, at least last year, to Malik Collins and Jordan Elliott. Solid. And then going from Chase Young, who had like the worst motor of any defensive end in the league, to Leonard Floyd, who has one of the best motors. That's a big upgrade. Mm-hmm. Two right there. I mean, three, actually, if you really three on defense alone. And then to me, the biggest difference from last year. And I think I don't want to get in my head. I'm not picking the Niners to win the Super Bowl after one game, although I'm so excited about this team right now. I'm so excited. To me, the biggest difference from last year is Dominic Pooney, man. Like, if they had this guy last year, if they had Dominic Pooney in either of their Super Bowls against the Chiefs, would they have folded in the fourth quarter against Chris Jones like that? I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen him face Chris Jones. Maybe he will too. But something tells me he can hold his own. And that's such a game changer for the 49ers, a guy like that. In the interior.
Pudi's done nothing but look good. I do want to pump the brakes on him a little bit.
No, he's an all-pro. Hall of Famer.
A lot of his reps were against Solomon Thomas, who we know is just not good. But Pooney has passed every test so far. I think this week's going to be a really fun test for him, a good litmus test because of the way that this defense blitzes and what have you. But also, if Banks doesn't play and Burford plays left guard, that might be a glimpse into the future of, like, should we not pay Banks? Because Banks is going to be expensive, probably more than what he's worth this offseason. You can't pay everybody. So I think seeing Burford out there with Pooney might be a good look into what it could possibly look like. I do like that. But yeah, man, it's I think that for me is like the biggest one. Another one for me is the run defense. At times last year, they were getting gashed, Grant. Anytime that teams were able to stay in games, they were able to run the ball on the 49ers. This was supposed to be a team with Breece Hall, arguably the second best running back in the league, a much improved offensive line, and they couldn't do anything consistently in the run game. That was an impressive run defense. Without Greenlaw, without Hufanga, I would have never guessed that.
It was very impressive what they did. I do want to see if they can do it against the Vikings, who have a better offensive line for sure. Like, the Jets have a really good running back, but I don't know about their offensive line. And I think the Vikings can run the ball. So if the Niners shut down Minnesota, I'm with you on that. Agree. Mitchell and Ness says, Grant Sky Jennings been steady Eddie. Why did we have to draft Pearsall again? We could have had all pro center Frazier. I mean, it does seem kind of strange that they brought in. Now we do know that they were in the process of trading Brandon Ayuk. So maybe that has something to do with it. But Jennings is good. He's been on fire since the end of last season. And it seems like he's picked up right where he left off.
Yeah, he is very good. And it seemed weird immediately when they gave Jennings an extension through next year. That's when it seemed really weird that they had drafted any receiver in round one.
Then we got the Jordan Mason factor. Like, he has really put himself in a position where the Niners can't bury him again. Can't. Christian McCaffrey's back. He's 100% healthy. Cool. Find 10 to 15 carries for Jordan Mason. You have to.
Yeah, I think if you give Mason 10 carries, CMC 15, and maybe CMC, you know, 5 targets in the pass game, that's totally fine. That's not overusing CMC, in my opinion.
Yeah, and if Kyle wants to run the ball 40 times a game, then boom, there you go. 20 for Mason, 20 for McCaffrey.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You got 20 carries.
No more for Debo. That's over.
No.
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 You can get him the carries on end arounds and stuff like that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's obvious. When he lines up in the backfield, it's a guarantee he's touching the ball, pretty much. And defense is just key in on him. Plus, why do
you want to play action scheme out of that? There's no dropback scheme out of that.
Nothing you can do with it. I mean, he couldn't even get open on a Texas route out of the backfield like that.
He couldn't beat the linebacker.
Yeah, it just, you can't do it anymore. Doesn't make sense.
Can't do it.
Now, if you put him back there with CMC, that you can get fun with that, but by himself, it's like, dude, he's going to touch the ball. So why even?
Another big difference from last year is Sorensen. Clearly, he went up against freaking Nathaniel Hackett. So this is going to be a much better test for him. What do you do against Kevin O'Connell and a competent offense with some talent at the skill positions, skill positions?
Yeah, yeah, I definitely. I mean, we're going to see. He's going to have ups and downs. But I think for game one, he handled it pretty dang good, man. Pretty dang good.
Okay.
Nick, it's because he was on the sideline. He was on the sideline. We didn't.
Yeah.
We should probably mention that.
Oh, okay. Well, in the locker room today, Nick Bosa was talking, and he often says something candid in a very calm way that makes you think later after he said it. Because when he says it, you're like, oh, yeah, it's up. And then you're like, wait a second. That was controversial. And today he casually, calmly said that the Vikings are a better team than the Jets. Both teams were 7-10 last year, although, and they had different quarterbacks last year. Which team is better in your eyes?
Man, but Bosa's interviews on Wednesdays are they're the best. They really are, because he is not afraid to say whatever he means about the team. He's very candid. You're going to get the most non-coach speak answer from him, and it always gives an insight to what not only he feels, but what the team feels about their next opponent. And it is interesting to hear that he does believe that the Vikings are a better team than the Jets, because you look at it from a talent perspective, I don't think it's close. The Jets are supremely talented compared to the Jets. However, I mean, the Jets are compared to the Vikings, but the Vikings are so well coached. I mean, they've got O'Connell on offense, phenomenal, phenomenal mind. Then on defense, you got Flores. Listen, people can say what they want about him as a head coach, and he's a jerk, and he runs a tight ship on defense. They are no joke. And they've upgraded on defense a couple of the players over there. So, yeah, I mean, as weird as it sounds that a Sam Darnold-led team is better than an Aaron Rodgers-led team, coaching matters. Coaching is a big difference. I mean, look at Harbaugh. They already got one win over in L.A. That's not a coincidence. Like, coaching does make a difference, and they are very well coached. You know they're going to play hard, and they're at home. So, yeah, I do. I tend to agree that the Vikings are better than the Jets, at least right now.
I don't want to give Robert Saleh a pass just because I like him, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. No, I'm just kidding. I do think that if you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, it's hard to coach the team. And I think it must be kind of like a load for everyone around him to be on Aaron Rodgers' team, knowing that he's not fully engaged and he's old and he's beaten down and he doesn't really want to get hit and he's going to roll his eyes and sort of pass the blame on to everyone else. It just, I don't see how you can be a real tight knit team with him as your quarterback anymore. I think the Packers figured that out a few years ago. And I think it's too bad that out of desperation, because Zach Wilson didn't work out, that Saleh had to kind of sell his soul to this washed up weirdo has been. Who could still throw a great football, but I mean, God, he can't move at all, dude. He's terrible. Him and Kirk Cousins, the two old guys coming off the Achilles, making hella money. Like, they might be the worst quarterbacks in the league for what you have to pay them and the power they have.
Yeah, I think that was the thing. You know, when I made my quarterback list going into this season, I had Kirk at 8, Rodgers at 9, I believe. But and then I had Purdy at 10, and I said very early on, you're going to get a few games in, and we might just find out that both of these guys coming off of an Achilles are washed. And then Purdy and
overpaid
immediately move up that list.
Yeah,
it's 1 week. I don't want to get too far out. Give them a couple weeks to get back, because they've had a great track record of being very good players for a long time. But it is possible that they are both washed. Yes. And Achilles injuries are unforgiving. Very unforgiving.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even like a particularly good leader before this, but now he's old, can't move, and I mean, there's only so many. I mean, we had like 3 or 4 beautiful throws against the Niners. It's not enough.
Yeah. I mean, he can still sling it. That's for sure.
Garrett Wilson's like pretty good. There's no one else he trusts on that freaking offense to throw the ball to.
No, and it's so vanilla.
The defense was soft.
Oh, jeez, bro.
The defense was soft. The quarterback's old. The weapons are overrated. It's Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, and that's freaking it. And Robert Saleh looks completely disengaged. Like, that's my guy.
He looks
watching him on the sideline. It's like, what happened, man? Like, where's the exuberance? Man, it feels like they need to pull the plug on that whole operation there and start over from scratch with a new coach and a new quarterback. It just didn't work.
Yeah, they're.
There's a good chance that I don't want to fire the guy.
It is early, but you're right. I mean, that performance was not inspiring at all.
No. Nah.
It was a really, and, that seemed like even a team your
like,
best players.
It's like they didn't want to be around each other, and it's week one.
Yeah, I mean, you already have Sauce Gardner coming out, like getting mad and tweeting at people. Oh, I mean, would you think I didn't want to tackle Debo? That's why I took myself out. Like, why'd I come back in? And then deleting tweets. You got Breece Hall fumbling. He's your best weapon. Like, it wasn't a good start, man. And then you're relying on, sorry, no offense, but Solomon Thomas and Javon Kinlaw, like the two castoffs we have here. That, okay, good luck.
Sal, I could have told you, man. I could have told you, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, let's make some sleeper picks, because they're sponsoring the show and their picks are terrific. And that's not, there it is. And I just know really why I want to say it, because I'm wearing the shirt right now and I won hella sleeper picks this weekend. I was on fire.
You won like a 5-thing parlay, man. That was pretty right there. Legit.
Boom. Look at that. They voided the McCaffrey one. So I got seven. Six.
Six. Six. Man, counting is hard. Wow. That's impressive. Yeah. And you would have had seven, because what is that? One
McCaffrey
touchdown
and a receiving touchdown.
Maybe not receiving. Maybe, yeah. But yeah, a touchdown. That was actually my. Sure.
These are all no brainers to me. Like Aaron Rodgers for less than two passing touchdowns. Against the Niners? Like, yeah. Kittle for less than 50 yards. I mean, they don't throw him the ball.
Brees Hall's
going to score a touchdown for sure. I don't know. It seemed obvious. But I had some other wins. This one, I got Purdy wrong. I was being a hater. I thought he was going to throw a pick. He almost did. I was trying to be a hater. Also, I got this one wrong. I thought Rodgers would throw a pick. I thought he wouldn't. What was I thinking? Of course he's going to throw a pick. And then
I didn't think he'd throw a pick either.
I think Kyle saw my sleeper pick and picked that and threw that one.
It's like, let me mess up Grant's parlay. It's
honestly. Man, I thought Kinlaw would have a sack.
Oh.
That's on me. That's 100% on me.
Yeah, that's a poor bet.
Anyway, let's make some new picks.
How was he going to chase down, in hindsight, how was he going to chase down Purdy? Purdy's so fleet of foot. There's just no way that was going to happen.
No, it wasn't going to happen. Tyreek Hill is on sale, 21% off. Instead of 98.5 receiving yards, 78.5 receiving yards. They thought of him so much easy, right?
That could happen on one catch.
Now, he could get arrested. Not saying that I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They seem to have it out for him down there. I don't know.
For him, yeah.
Things happen. That was terrible. I saw the body cam footage too. That looked scary.
And also shout out to him as well. I didn't really comment on it too much, but shout out to him as well. He came out in a press conference today and said, hey, listen, I understand. I could have handled things better. I shouldn't have rolled up my window. I'm a regular person. I just didn't want people photographing me. It was a weird situation. I own that, but it doesn't give them like carte blanche to just beat me up and throw me on the ground. That was a little over the top too. I was like, that was very, very well said.
Josh Allen, 194.5 passing yards.
More.
Duh. Okay. Agree. So now let's go to the Niners who are playing in Minnesota. Have you heard about this? They're playing in Minnesota this weekend. It's crazy. There it is. Okay. Jake Moody.
Six last week. He's
I think this dome. Is kind of a good play because without Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Shanahan's going to have to find new ways to put the ball in the end zone. And he's not all he would do in the past year and a half was get the ball to Christian. They may be kicking more field goals now.
These are always tough for me because coming off of a 6 field goal week, you're like no brainer. And those are the ones where it's like they know something, don't they? There's no way they're making this is too obviously easy. Well, let's go
one and a half field goal. You don't think he's gonna have two field goals?
I'm not saying that. It seems like a dud no brainer, but
what about 7.5 kick points though? Because that way, even if they score a bunch of touchdowns, he gets points.
I like that.
Seven and a half. Okay.
If he kicks a long field goal, that's worth 4 points. This is fantasy points. So yeah, I like
that. Hell yeah. I'm a big Jake Moody guy since now.
Brock since Purdy. He was drafted, really. You've never stopped talking about him in a positive manner.
They took the rushing yards away from Brock Purdy. That was my moneymaker. I like that one. Pass TDs, don't feel that great about it. 236.5 passing yards.
It's picks. Tough because you don't know what to expect from IU. Let's go picks. Let's go. I'll go less.
He threw two picks against the Vikings last year.
He's not throwing any of this game.
Hold on. What about 236.5 passing yards?
I don't feel good about it just because Ayuk's not like there yet. And if they can run the ball, they're not going to stop. You know that.
Okay. I got burned on hating on Purdy last week. I'm going to try to not hate on Purdy this week. Hating on Purdy. Okay. Deebo Samuel, anytime TD. I feel like that's Kyle's way to get in the end zone. And I kind of like that one.
Yeah, I mean, you got the rushing, you got the receiving, you got options.
He got so many freaking touches last week.
Is Mason on there? Can we go find? Let's go find Mason. Please tell me Mason.
No, but Isaac Garendo is. I'm so sorry. Why? Maybe he'll be on later this week. Unfortunately, I'll have to talk to the good people at Sleeper, see what I can do. Let me see. Hold on. Rushing yards. Garendo? I got to say.
I think it's because they're not sure if. CMC's in a suit up or not. Because you notice they don't have CMC on there either.
Good point.
So they don't want to make it unrealistic. Okay. Let's take a Viking. Let's look at some of these Vikings. Justin Jefferson, what's his?
Hold on. Justin Jefferson, 81.5 receiving yards and anytime touchdown.
More.
6.5 receptions.
Force feed him with the receiving yards.
Yeah, I would agree, especially if Jordan Addison might not play. Aaron Jones, 50.5 rushing yards. Or a touchdown anytime. Aaron Jones is good and plays well against the Niners every time.
I know he does.
15.5 rushing yards, not a lot.
It's not. You're right. Let's go more on that one.
So I want to top what I did last week.
So we have to go with the 7.
I got to take that, man.
Okay. All right. There's your 7. There's your 7
for IU.
Chill out on your.
No, how about George Kittle, 48.5 receiving yards? I feel like this is his week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world. From the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with the Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever, and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Okay. I hope so. He's on my fantasy team. So let's go more.
I think yes for George Kittle on that one. Garendo, not going there. Jennings.
Anytime TD, less.
Yep.
Yeah.
Entry slip is full.
You can't go more than 8.
All right. Let's take one of these off that
we feel less good about.
The Kittle one, I mean that's precarious. 48.5.
Yeah, take that one off. Go Garendo like, less.
Maybe. Let's definitely. Sorry, Isaac, you're going down.
He didn't even get touches last week.
Okay. I don't feel like flexing it.
Oh, you're going all in. Pause. I like this.
No, I'm going to flex it. See, I almost got crazy for a second. You got to use your head.
Smart thing.
Here at the sleeper app. Can't submit yet? What are you talking about? Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
What are you talking about? Don't understand. What is the problem? Can we only use one promotional pick per content?
Oh, we used to. Okay, so Allen and Hill. That's fair. Okay.
That's fine.
All right. I like the Hill one better. We'll go with
that. Then I'm going back and getting that Kittle one. Thank you very much. Boom. Boom. Yeah, I'll flex. That's where there we go. There it is. And I want to let you know, I did actually give away the signed Brandon Ayuk jersey. I've had it here for months. Michelle Buchanan of Concord, California, won. She knows it, and I sent it to her today. It'll be there in a few days. Nice. And in an hour and a half, I will be bidding on another one. I'm not going to tell you which one. It'll be a secret, and I don't want people to outbid me. But tomorrow, I'm starting another giveaway because it was highly successful. Thank you, everyone, for participating. And stay tuned to find out what that giveaway will be. In the meantime, use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N, when you download the Sleeper app. It really helps my channel, and you guys are very much in the business of making me happy. So thank you. Please use the promo code C-O-H-N. I'll be your best friend. Remember you say that in school when you try to make a trade at lunch? Like,
Give
me my Capri Sun that's super warm for your root beer.
I'll host his cupcake.
Yeah.
That's not a fair trade at all.
No, it sounds awful.
That's my dessert. And I already had a drink. I don't need
a best friend. I don't need you as a friend. Get away from me, you only child.
You only child. This doesn't work here.
Okay. We talked about the Vikings. I want to talk about their defense. Last time the Niners faced the Vikings, they got smacked. Now, Deebo Samuel didn't play. Trent Williams didn't play, but the Niners scored 17 points. And Christian McCaffrey did play in that game, played the whole game, was healthy, 15 carries, 45 yards, and a touchdown. So this is a defense that's statistically pretty good against the run. They just shut down whoever the hell the Giants running back is last week.
Probably.
Yeah, said that guy. So not exact. Well, maybe he is. Maybe he isn't better than Jordan Mason. I don't know. I think Jordan Mason might be a Hall of Famer, but it's a little early.
It's never too early, no.
We know that Brian Flores is a pretty good defensive coordinator, and he's unique in the sense that he brings more pressure than anyone else. And he did a really good job against this defense, this offense last year. Do you think this is a tough matchup for the 49ers?
I do. I do think it's a tough matchup for the 49ers. I don't think it's one that they can't overcome by any means, and seeing it last year is helpful. I think it's very helpful. But really, I want to look at Dominic Pooney. We talked about him earlier. He played against Solomon Thomas a ton last week. That's where he did his best work. Not that he was bad against anybody else, but every week is something new. He's going to see, this is the great thing about rookies. They're going to have ups and downs. Every week is something new for him. And this week is going to be something very new for him. You've got, I think, an overall better defensive line in Minnesota. You're going to get a ton of simulated pressures. They move people around a ton. They'll show eight, like we're going all out blitz, and then they'll back people off. It's just a bunch of movement pre-snap. They are an interesting defense. And last year, with really a bunch of no-names and Danielle Hunter, they way, way over-indexed where they should have been. Now they've actually added a couple guys. They added
Stephon Jonathan Greenard, Andrew Van Ginkle.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now they've got two pass rushers, yep. Stephon Gilmore. So yep. and a young defense that had already been there, and they're just ascending together. So yeah, I do. I think that they can pose some interesting threats. So Pooney, I'm looking at in particular. If Burford has to play left guard, I would look at that. Obviously, we know McKivitz and Brendel can be a little off. And then Mason, you know, a short week. Everybody now knows you're really, really good. Okay. There's no surprising anybody. What does it look like for him? He doesn't have to do what he did last week, but can he come out and get 22 carries and approach 100 yards again? Those are things that I'll be looking for. And, you know, I think anytime a defense doesn't give you a lot of time to throw the ball, sometimes it can turn into some really big plays and you can route teams, but sometimes you're under duress all night and you just can't get on the same page. So yeah, I think they are a tougher matchup. Oddly enough, even though the players aren't as good, because schematically they're just so sound over there.
Yeah. Yeah. You could say that, or you could say that they take a lot of risks. And to me, like, a lot of defenses want to be sound in the sense that they want to like rush four, drop seven into coverage, not take any risks, be kind of conservative. I think that kind of plays into the Niners' hands on offense. If you can stop the run, first of all, if you can stop the run, you're a tough matchup for the Niners offense, because everything is based on running the ball and play action off of that. If you can take those elements away and force them into a drop back passing game, then you got the Super Bowl. You know, that's not exactly where they want to be. And then if you can make them one-dimensional, which very few defenses can actually do to the 49ers, but if you can make them one-dimensional and then bring pressure, we've seen that Jake Brendel struggles to set the protections. I mean, they've talked about it. Chris Forster talked about it. They have a lot of missed assignments. It's not necessarily his fault, in my opinion, although maybe they would disagree. It just seems like the center is at a disadvantage. He just doesn't have a good view. His eyes are like a foot and a half off the ground, and he's trying to spot where all the potential blitzes are coming from. It's a weakness of the system. And I think that the Vikings are kind of in position to exploit it. I'm not saying they will, but they're sort of built to do it. And they did it last year. Well, they sacked Daniel Jones 5 times last week. Sorry. Just remember that.
Yeah. Sam. But I also look at Ayuk not being in full game shape either. So he's your separator. So when you bring everybody up to the line of scrimmage, if you have a guy that can just beat somebody on the outside one-on-one, you can really take advantage of it. But if IU can't beat that guy because he's not in as great a shape as normal, now it's really hard to find those passing lanes, and it's hard to find running lanes because you're sitting with 9 in the box, just chilling there, showing you all these blitzes. Maybe they're coming, maybe they're not, but they're there. And so if it becomes hard to run, and then your receivers on the outside can't separate, well, then everything gets really, really tough. That being said, I'm not like predicting that they're just going to shut the 49ers down. But in comparison to last week, I think they are a tougher matchup. They're definitely not the toughest matchup they could face. Here's one caveat for them, and we're going to talk about him in a minute. But Sam Darnold could throw 3 picks. And if he does, and you get short fields, it doesn't matter what the defense is doing, you're going to put up points. So, you know, there is that too.
Again, I'm looking at last year. This was week 7. The Niners went to Minnesota and lost. And again, Trent Williams wasn't there. Obviously, Dominic Pooney wasn't there. So when Christian McCaffrey got utterly shut down on the ground, there's reasons for that. And this year, he won't be out there most likely. We don't know. Probably be Jordan Mason. And they're definitely going to have Pooney and Trent Williams. So he should be able to have, I don't know if he's going to go for 100 yards, but I'm not saying he won't. He should be able to have a pretty good game. Question is, though, what are they going to do through the air? No Christian. In the last game, he played pretty well against the Vikings as a receiver. He had 3 catches for 51 yards, including a 35-yarder touchdown. Ayuk had 6 targets, 5 catches, 57 yards. Okay. Jennings had 5 catches, 54 yards. Okay, not bad. I mean, just kind of possession catches. And then Kittle had a big game, 5 catches, 78 yards. So I don't know. It seems like, Debo's coming back. That should help. But I don't really know what Ayuk's going to give you against this team.
Yeah, I think it's as simple as if the guys get open, we know Purdy will find them. But can they get open? That's what I'm questioning. If they can get open, Purdy's going to have a fine day. But if they can't, what do you do?
He did throw 2 picks against the Vikings last year. I believe it was both in the fourth quarter, and I believe he got dinged a little bit on a quarterback sneak, but he threw 2 picks against his team. He almost threw 1 last week. Something to watch with Purdy. Like, he does a very good job of managing the game, and he makes good decisions 95% of the time, but there's a part of him that wants to show that he's more than that, that he's not just a game manager, that he's a gunslinger, that he's worth 60, blah, 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 and he will make some bad decisions once in a while. Defense that forces the issue. That's what I was so disappointed in the freaking Jets for so many reasons. Like, I wanted to be a quality control guy for them. I was like, what happened to the Robert Saleh I used to know? Like, when he was with the Niners, I thought his pressure schemes were brilliant. When you study him on film on third down, I thought the things that he was doing, the way he could dictate the center to slide a certain way and then bring the pressure from the other direction and almost guarantee that you're going to get unblocked guys. Where the hell was that? What happened? I feel like Flores can do that stuff.
Oh, Flores will do that stuff. He'll do all of it. I mean, that's where one of the picks came last year, is he had blitzed and blitzed and blitzed. And for 7 weeks, that's all he showed. And then on one of those final, I think it was the final pass that Purdy threw, I think it was the second interception, he showed blitz and just dropped everybody back. And there was nowhere for him to go with the ball. And he just threw it up and right over the middle and got picked. So, yeah, I mean, they definitely can confuse a lot of quarterbacks. But like I said, I think the advantage is that Brock saw him last year.
Good point.
And you give him second run at it. Now it's like, all right, I know what to expect here. And they'll have a good game plan.
It's not an elite defense. It's a good defense that is somewhat
an elite coached defense is what it is.
Absolutely. All Niners says, Grant and Jess, what is one concern you had before week one, and is it still a concern? Also, same for something you were confident in.
For me, the concern was, and they stopped the run consistently. And it's not a concern in that they answered it for that game, but let me see it for one more week. And luckily for us, we get to see it against a good running back with a good offensive line, a different scheme. So now we're going to see two different schemes, two good running backs, two decent offensive lines. And if they can do it again, it's like, well, I mean, who am I to say? Like, there's no reason to be worried. So kind of in the middle of it still being a concern for me.
My concern was, how is Kyle going to call plays without Christian out there? Not necessarily how's Brock going to do without Christian. I thought Brock was solid, managed the game really, really, really well, wasn't asked to do a whole lot because Jordan Mason was going crazy. But what's Kyle going to do without Christian? Because he's just leaned on him so hard for the last year and a half. And, you know, some good, some bad. Like, he found Jordan Mason. That was great. All the Debo usage didn't make a whole lot of sense. I felt like he probably could have gone more to Jennings and Kittle in particular, but they scored a lot of points. They won by a lot. Hard to knock them. But yeah, I'm just kind of curious to see how Kyle operates without his cheat code.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I was confident in is that 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming back from Achilles injury, that Brock Purdy would clearly be the better quarterback in that game. And I think that showed to be true.
Yeah, I was very confident that Nick Sorensen would outcoach Nathaniel Hackett, and that played out.
Yeah, that's true.
Javier Sierra says, tequila with lime works good for that throaty Jesse.
I know. I'm not a big drinker, but yeah, I'm definitely under the weather, man. I've been battling for a week here.
Been battling. Kirabel Tedesi says, still kind of crazy we haven't won in Minnesota in 32 years.
That's a crazy stat. That is a crazy stat.
Have they gotten in trouble for piping in noise?
I don't think so.
Okay, I don't want to get in trouble. It just seems like the kind of town where the whole city is sort of like trying to help the team win. So you come to town as a road opponent, you better make sure you know who the waiters are and make sure you don't tell anyone which hotel you're staying at, because you just,
that's a good point.
It just might be a fire alarm at 2 a.m. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Really, no, I agree with that. Yeah. Debo, don't order takeout under your name, man.
Exactly. Railgar says, tell me about the free play touchdown, please. Was this when we were doing maybe the sleeper picks? I don't know. Sorry, Railgar.
I saw the discounts.
Jake Moody scored more points than the Jets offense. Papa says, don't care about what the Vikings have. This is a game they need to win. Schedule gets tough later in the year. Hope we don't waste a loss this week.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I think the schedule is very favorable for them to start out at least 4-0, possibly 5-0. Yeah.
Razaki says, Jesse, I thought you were bald, but you have a nice slick back. Drop the hat. Let yourself shine. Grant, your haircut has been solid lately. Part to the side suits you. Much love. Well, thank you so much for the compliments.
Nice, Razaki. I appreciate it. A lot of people thought I was bald, I think.
Dave Barclay says, fack, missed the whole show.
Sorry. Not the whole show.
BA catches that ball 39-19. Yeah. Did they not score at all on that possession?
Field goal, maybe?
They must have. Hey, because they scored an eight-score straight possession. So, anyway.
Yeah, I think it was a field goal, maybe.
So, turns out that Aaron Rodgers could not pose a threat to the 49ers at 40 years old coming off an Achilles. Now, he hasn't really posed a threat to the Niners in years, to be frank. So, forget him. Now they got Sam Darnold coming up, who I never took seriously. And I'm not sure that I do now. But he won last week. He was efficient. And now the Niners have to keep a straight face. He's on the field and he's got the ball in his hands, and you never know. Funny things happen. Does Sam Darnold pose a threat to the 49ers?
Yeah. I mean, realistically, yes, because the question with Sam was never a talent thing. He's supremely talented. And if Addison plays, I think that's a big question. Hawkinson's already out. If Addison plays, you've got two really good receivers on the outside that can certainly win. And, you know, with an arm like that, you can make some big throws and it can be an issue. But I want to pump the brakes. Everybody just went on this like victory tour with Sam Darnold last week against, if it wasn't for the Panthers, the worst team in the NFL, the Giants. Okay. And then you add in the fact that it started out great. He was 10 of 10, two touchdowns, looked good. He finished the game 9 of 14 with an interception. He will throw the ball up. Like, can he go a game without a turnover? That's the big thing. He always turns up. He was playing really good last year, week 18, and then turned the ball over out of nowhere. He just does this. He fumbles for no reason. He throws a bad pick. He's going to give you opportunities. So, yeah, if the 49ers just drop all the picks that are thrown their way and he hits a big one to Jefferson or Addison or both, yes, he can pose a threat. Do I expect him to, though? No. I expect more turnovers than touchdowns from Sam Darnold, whatever that number is. If he throws two touchdowns, then he'll have four turnovers.
I can see that. I guess what's interesting about Darnold is, like, after watching him with the Niners and now with the Vikings, it seems like he's changed his mindset about who he wants to be or who he sees himself as a little bit. I mean, I know he's still mistake prone, but when he was younger, it felt like he was trying to do a lot. Like, hey, I was a third pick in the draft and I can actually do a lot of the stuff that Patrick Mahomes can do and watch me throw this ball off platform. It's like, nah, 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 nah. Just be a game manager, Sam. Can you do that? Can you manage the game? Here's what you want. Here's what we want you to do. Do a Brock Purdy impression. Okay. Stop trying to do a Patrick Mahomes impression. Do a Brock Purdy impression. Just manage the game, make good decisions, distribute the ball to your playmakers, and get out of the way. And I'm not sure he can do it, but it seemed like in week one, he did a pretty good job, 19 to 24. They're not going to put the game in his hands. He's never going to be the driving force behind a win for the Vikings, but if he can manage the game and let Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones take over, I mean, that's essentially what Brock Purdy does. So I think this game's going to come down to which guy manages the game better and commits fewer turnovers.
Yeah, and I'll bet on Brock Purdy for that.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I got in this conversation this last week because a lot of people were like, Brock Purdy didn't have to do anything this last week to win. It's like, okay, you could look at it like that. But also, there's an element to easy football that not everybody can make look easy. Go ask Will Levis. All he had to do was complete a few passes and not turn the ball over, and they were going to beat the Bears. The Bears had nothing for them offensively. Just don't turn the ball over and you're good. He couldn't do that. So Brock Purdy makes the easy look easy, but that's not necessarily easy. That's a lot of easies.
Yeah.
I don't know that Sam Darnold can make
it better than Sam Darnold. I would say, yeah. I would agree with that. Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
What supporting cast is better? Debo, IU, Kittle, Jordan Mason, or Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones, and whoever the hell their tight end is?
49ers. Because if Hawkinson was there, then I would say that they're probably pretty even. But no Hawkinson, 49ers.
What's a better wide receiver duo? Addison and Jefferson. Okay. Who's a better running back? Jones or Mason?
Listen, I know that we want to say Mason, but Jones has been doing this for a while, man. The difference here is Kittle.
And again, yeah, Kittle had a really good game against the Vikings last year, but this might be a Kittle week.
Also, Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is an X factor as well.
I almost forgot about Juwan Jennings. I am so sorry. And apparently, Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah, Juszczyk as well. That's a good point. So
yeah, although they can run that play like once a year. They're not running that this week.
Probably not.
Dave Barclay reminds us that Sam has weapons, just needs to get it up there.
Yeah, that's a problem. But he'll be protected.
There's pills for that. Dave Barclay says, but still, Sam sucks at moving.
Why did I know you were going to go there?
I'm sorry. But still, Sam sucks at moving. He can move a little time. He's better. He moves better than Brandon Allen.
He can run though. He really, I don't know that he's like soup because there is a difference. There's guys that can scramble, which he can do. He can break a 30, 40 yard run. We've seen that. But that doesn't mean you're mobile in the pocket. Those are two very different things. Tom Brady, very mobile in the pocket, not mobile past the line of scrimmage.
Good point.
I think Sam Darnold is mobile beyond the line of scrimmage. I don't think he's mobile necessarily in the pocket.
Proppa says, I think it's more likely that Grant gets invited to Kyle's preseason party next year than him splitting carries between Mason and CMC when he's back. It'll be 99% CMC.
I hope not, man. That would be disastrous.
What if in like 15 years, I'm like the number one football analyst in the country and like the pregame show on CBS is me and Kyle just giving each other like really passive aggressive jabs all morning? I think people would watch that.
You know how funny that would be?
No, like, you invented football. Go ahead. No, you do. That'd be hella funny. Sorry, buddy. You're stuck with me forever.
Yeah. Here's the Telestrator, yeah. Grant. Why don't you show us what they're running?
It turns out we're both stuck in purgatory, and this is our sentence. Yeah. We have each other forever. Dave Barclay says, does Vikings have same staff in coaching as 2023? Yes. Kevin O'Connell.
As far as the play callers go, yeah. Head coach, defensive coordinator. But they did add Kubiak. Right? Didn't they add one of the Kubiaks?
Blake went to New Orleans. He came from there.
Oh, you're right. He did. He came from there.
Gary's still there? I mean, that seems like...
No.
I don't know. He was there for a minute. No. Maybe not. Dave Barclay says, should always be a Kittle week.
Or before Zimmer. It should always be a Kittle week. He's a mismatch for everybody. I don't understand it.
Really he should get one target in the end zone every week, and he doesn't, and I don't know why. I'll never know why.
I don't know. Yeah.
There's no good answer. It's been like his whole career, too. Dave Barclay says, Sam can't look at wide receivers and move feet at the same time.
It's like chewing and walking. You just can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm an ambi-turner.
Can I just say that if Sam Darnold were to beat the 49ers this week, I'm not even going to finish the sentence. It would just be incredible.
That would be incredible. I don't want to
happen.
I don't want to sleep on the Vikings because I did last year and they won the game. But Kirk Cousins played out of his mind, and Kirk Cousins before the Achilles injury was a very, very good quarterback. I mean, we're talking about a top 10 quarterback in my opinion. So Sam Darnold is none of those things. That's helpful.
Justin Jefferson, Nick Sorensen, man, you're going to have
to. They didn't have Jefferson really well. Last year. They did not have Jefferson last year. I'm saying,
like, you're going to have to play. If you allow them to put Jefferson on Yottam, you're going to lose. You got to put Charvarius Ward on Jefferson all game. And, man, Charvarius Ward's great, but. No one's going to shut down Jefferson, so that's going to be an interesting matchup.
Do you remember what Jamar Chase did to Charvarius Ward when he played for Kansas City? For like 200 yards and three touchdowns on him. Yeah, it was awful.
So,
no, that was Patrick Burrow throwing the ball, but still.
Yeah, still. Okay, Dave Barclay says, Jesse is right. Vikes beat us, but different quarterback entirely.
Yeah, that's a
big deal. No Trent Williams, no Dominic Pooney. It's a big deal. They had the worst offensive line in football probably in that game.
Yeah. Oh, easily. Yes. Easily. Yes.
Keith Murphy, the unbeaten, says, is Jordan Addison back? He hurt us last year. He didn't practice today, so he may not.
No, play. He's got a sore ankle. I think he'll probably end up being like a game time decision. At least that's what I've been reading. I always love this. He's a real fast healer. Okay, is he? I don't know what that means, but. He's a fast healer, apparently. He's got a sore ankle. They'll see.
At the same time, coaches are like, well, it's a long season. We don't want to. It's like, yeah, okay. And you're going to lose. So why don't you
just
relax?
Yeah.
All right. It's officially dark over here on the West Coast. Grant Cohn, Jesse Naylor, make sure you like and subscribe to my channel and his channel. I don't know if you like a channel or subscribe. I don't even know. Whatever you like the show, subscribe to the channel. Download the Sleeper app, use promo code Cone. I'm going to be bidding on another jersey in like an hour, so I'll let you know if I win, and if I do, get in on that.
Oh, and tomorrow, four man front, Grant, Coach Ryan over on my channel around 9-ish Eastern.
Yes. You know,
Grant, it depends on when Grant can get back from the facilities, but around 9-ish Eastern, look out for that. Last Second Sports, check it out.
Here's where I'm working with. You got locker room open from 3 to 3:45. Book it at 3:45. Train leaves at 4:19. Gets me back at about 5:05. In my car at 5:10, maybe 5:12. On the road, get back to my house, probably 5:35, factoring in traffic. 6 o'clock seems extremely doable. Now, sometimes there's crazy people on the trail, on the railroad tracks. Happens. And you can't really prepare for it. So we'll see. But 97% chance we're going at 97% chance.
Yeah, and the 3% chance that we'll go by 9:15. So
yeah, and if they stop something on the tracks, I'll just politely tell the conductor, "Sir, I have to get out. I have a show to do. I'm going to catch an Uber. Thank you very much."
There you go.
I'm pretty sure it's very informal on these Amtrak trains. I love them.
I love them.
Hold on. At the buzzer, Dave Barclay, are game time decisions a new tactic? Now they've been doing those.
Yeah,
but it is a tactic to make it seem like, oh man, he's almost back.
Yeah.
Destroyed your fantasy team.
Playing, says 49ers JoJo.
I don't think his mindset. He's got a mindset that he's playing, but he's not actually playing. But his mindset is that he's playing.
So even if he's not physically playing, he'll be playing mentally through that. Okay. So he'll, yeah, he's playing.
Dave Barclay says he loves my schedule. Grant is a pro.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, man, you get Wi-Fi on the train. They even have a little bar if you're trying to get loose, which I won't.
I was going to say, we also get a Grant in a very unique situation in these shows because he has a long day ahead of him. It's a lot of fun.
How delirious I am at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
I love it.
And then I'm going to be in Minnesota. Minneapolis, one of the more underrated cities in America. Good town. Never been there for the joint practice a few years ago. Looking forward to going back. It's nice to go there when it's not hella cold. Huh?
You ever been to Pittsburgh?
Dude, we were in Pittsburgh together last year.
Oh, yeah, Doug.
Bro.
I thought you weren't traveling. You didn't travel most games last year, so I kind of forgot. Yes, True. You're right. We were in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Pittsburgh is also... Was that your first time there?
Yes, it's beautiful.
Surprising.
Very, very surprising.
Yeah. Minneapolis is a lot like that. There aren't like the big hills and stuff, but there's a lot of lakes and parks and... really good food and things are reasonably priced. It's like a prettier Chicago.
Never been.
Cuz Chicago has the great downtown and then after that it's like, to me, this is me. Great downtown though.
That's Miami too.
Yeah. All right, guys, thanks for watching. I'll see you guys tomorrow for Man Front. Make sure you subscribe to Last Second Sports because it's going to be on Jesse's channel. Last Second Sports, for Man Front, 49ers, optionality, inflection point.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.